Tonight's shiur, Parshas Beshalach. Rav Shmuel Greinerman, he was aide Riya to the following Maisa in the year Bialystok. There were two brothers that were in the wood lumber business. They had purchased a huge forest, and they were cut down the wood and sell it, lumber business. So they were doing Kanayin Ohr very well. And until one day they got an offer. They got an offer to buy another huge forest of trees. So there was a machlekes between the two brothers of what should they do. One brother said, you know, it's enough. We have one. We're working on this one forest, cutting it down. Let's just, you know, leave it at that. Whereas the other brother said, listen, we can't pass up a deal like this. This is a hot deal. It's a good price, and okay, we're busy with this, but let's... So they didn't know what to do, back and forth. So they decided to go to the Chafetz Chaim to, whatever he says, to accept upon themselves. So they went to the Chafetz Chaim. They told him their dilemma. Should they buy the new forest or not buy the new forest? So Chafetz Chaim said, listen, I'm not a businessman. I'm not the right person to ask. So they said, no, please tell us. He goes, okay, listen, like I said, I'm not a businessman, but I'll tell you a little maisa. And take from it what you will. What was the maisa? He says there was a man who had a barrel of wine. And the barrel of wine had like a spigot, like a tap at the bottom. He'd open it up and the wine would come through into his cup. So a friend of his was watching one day. He was taking the wine out from the barrel. And he says, you know, I have a good idea for you. He says, why don't you add another spigot, you know, another tap, you know. And then, the wine will come out quicker. You'll have more wine coming out just from one. You'll have wine coming out from the other tap also. So his first guy said, listen. He said, if you're going to give me an eitzah in which I'm going to have more wine... Okay, well, something to consider. But I'm not going to have any more wine in the end. Well, the wine that's in the barrel is all the wine I'm going to have. One spigot, two spigot, I'm not going to have any more wine. LMI, according to what you're saying, the wine's going to come up faster. Okay, why do we need the wine to come up faster for? So it comes out slower. What's the big deal? I'm in no rush. So that was the maisa the Chafetz Chaim told him. So the brothers took the hint. And they said the same thing. That Kosh Baruch Hu gives a person's parnasa every year, Rosh Hashanah is what you're going to have, and you can't add, you can't subtract, this is exactly what you're going to have. So when a person works harder and more, what is he doing? He's just draining the source faster. He's going to get that money maybe a little bit faster, but you're not going to get any more money. So to hear, he said, you know, I guess that's what he's hinting, that buy another forest. Okay, we're not going to get any more money if we buy another forest. We're just going to get our money faster. So what's the big rush? You know, we'll get the money as it comes. So they ended up, in fact, therefore not buying this new forest. And Rav Greinerman, he bumped into one of these brothers a while later, and he asked them, hey, whatever happened to that forest that you didn't buy or whatever? He said, yeah, you know what happened? Somebody else bought it. And it was a disaster. The guy lost all his money, and he went bankrupt, and it was a big disaster. So he saw the Ruach HaKodesh of the Chafetz Chaim. Brings that Yisro Zalman Meltzer used to say about Hatzlacha of Parnasa, that whatever is meant to be was meant to be, and you're going to get what's coming to you. He says if a person, let's say, opens up a store in some hidden alleyway somewhere, you know, and so you think, oh, how is he going to make a living? If it's meant to be, some guy's going to get lost, end up in this alleyway, see this store and say, oh, I dafka needed this thing, and go and buy it. It's meant to be. You'll get your parnas. Okay. When the pasuk and nevuchim heim ba'aretz, they're confused. Brings a interesting shaila. It says that nowadays, with the modern technology, there's a device called a GPS. Right, where a person types in his destination he wants to go, and this device tells you where to go, where to turn, where to have the quickest way to getting to where you're going to. So the Shaila was asked, can a person use this to go to the hospital, let's say on Shabbos? Okay, a person has to drive, let's say his wife having a baby, whatever, has to drive it to the hospital on Shabbos. So if he goes regular, he basically knows where the hospital is, but feed the way his, he knows, it might be take a little bit longer, meaning the longer you are driving, the more Chilul Shabbos it is. If he uses the GPS, he can get there quicker. It'll tell him the quicker way. So he has to be less on the road, less Chilul Shabbos, but he has to activate it. He has to type it in, you know, where he's going, whatever, and activate the GPS, which is a Chilul Shabbos in and of itself. So the question was, is it okay to use this on Shabbos? So Zilberstein said his first thought was no. He says, why? Because that which you're allowed to mechal on Shabbos, he says, you're allowed to mechal Shabbos for pikuach nefesh, right? In order to save a life. You can't mechal Shabbos in order to mechal less Shabbos. And that's what's basically going on over here, right? I'm mechal Shabbos by you activating the GPS so that I will mechal less Shabbos. So I mechal Shabbos to mechal less Shabbos. There's no heter to mechal Shabbos to mechal less Shabbos. So that's what he thought. But when he brought the shayla to Rabbi Yashiv, that's all. He said that it's mutter. You can use it. He says because all part of the inyan of being mechal Shabbos for pikuach nefesh is to get there quicker. And if this is gonna, if this device is gonna help you get there quicker, so that's all part of the mitzvah of being mechal Shabbos for pikuach nefesh. And therefore, he says you could use it. But I heard just as it happens just today, I was listening to a shir that said that you should do it with the shinui though, you know, as much as you can mashan it. So if you can do, type it in with your left hand, you know, then for activate your left hand with the shinui, therefore that's better. Yeah. You find that Peladika thing, the Meforshim discuss in the Sedra, and that's Paro. You know, here Klal Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim after Eser Makas. Was culminated with the Makas Bechoros, and here they get to the sea splits, and Paro goes running after them. So, was he crazy? I mean, I guess he's dumb, you know, never saw these people before, never ran away from it, and he, you know, finally runs after them, but after everything he's gone through, and he saw how Hashem was on our side, doing all these, you know, miracles for Klal Yisrael against the Mitzri, one after the other, and now he sees the sea split, obviously for who? For Klal Yisrael, obviously. Open miracle, and he goes running after them. I mean, what was he crazy? So there's a number of different answers to this question. But he said he asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and he says, he brings up Gemara Yerushalmi, which we're not going to go into. But he says we see a yesod from this Gemara, and that is the human nature is a person doesn't like to be had, doesn't like to be made a fool of, right? And that is that nature that also Paro had. That's what made him run after Klal Yisrael. In other words, here Klal Yisrael were telling him, "Oh, we're only going for 3 days in the Midbar," and they went and borrowed their stuff. You know, they borrowed their gold, their silver, and things to take with them, as if they're going to give it back. Right, and here Paro sees they're not giving it back. They're continuing traveling, whatever, and they're not interested in coming back to the thing. So he's like, "Hey, I've been taken for a ride." Right, a person can't stomach that. Can't be like, "Oh, like he, you know, I was taken for a ride." So to Paro, and therefore he said, "I go after Klal Yisrael." As crazy as it was, but he didn't want to be made a fool of. And that was enough to give him the drive to go in. And Lemaisa though. It was mita keneged mita, Mefarshim say, that he was made a fool of, because he made a fools out of us. It says, Vayvidu et b'nei Yisrael b'farach, was parach, perach. He started off here, he said, we make us work, very nice is here, work and make this thing, and you'll get, you know, nice bonus, nice pay, or whatever. And I said, "Oh yeah, we're great." And you just started working, and then he said, "No, now you're going to do exactly what you're going to do now, without pay, without bonus, without," and we turned into slaves. So he fooled us. So since he fooled us, you know, and made us into fools, so likewise, mita keneged mita, that's what Hashem commanded us to do to him. It says on the pasuk v'yudefu acharei b'nei Yisrael, they were chased after. It says many people, you know, complain that they feel they're being chased after. People running after them, attacking them, doing things to them, and then they come complaining. So he says that shares with them the story that the Ben Ish Chai liked to say, and he uses this to give people chizuk. What's the story? So there was a guy who was very poor, didn't have what to eat, and he decided he was going to go to some far-off town somewhere and to look for parnasa. So he left his family behind, went to this place, and sure enough, he got a job as an apprentice at a, or a baker. Baker's apprentice. He learned the skills, the thing, and he started working. He was making nice money. He worked for a few years until he saved up a nice amount of money. And he figured, okay, good, now I can go back to my home, and we'll have what to eat. Fine. So he parts with his employer and packs up his things and makes his way home. So on his way home, wouldn't you know it, of course he's carrying all his money with him he made the last few years, he gets mugged. So robbers attack him and say, give us your money. Okay, so the robber pulls out a gun, give me your money. It's your money or your life. So okay, there's no other choice. So he has to give him all his money. And he starts crying. He says, oh no, he's begging the guy, please have mercy on me. He says, I was away from my home for years to make this money. And that's it. And all my hard work is gone in a second. You're thinking, he didn't care about these sob stories. He said, too bad. Just give me your money and finish. So Robert took the money. And the Yid says to him, wait, just before you go, maybe can I ask maybe to do me a little favor? He says, what's that? He says, well, I was just thinking to myself, picturing myself, I'm going to come home. My wife's going to say, okay, where's all the money you've made the last 5 years that you've been gone? And I'm going to say, I don't have it. So she's going to, what? You've been left at home for so long all this time, you don't have any money then? So what am I going to say? Yeah, I was robbed. She goes, yeah, you're robbed. Yeah, you're probably wasting away your money on booze or whatever. I don't know. What am I going to do? So the robber said, okay, I feel bad for your shalom bais, but what do you want from me? So he says, okay, so I just want to ask a favor from you. So he takes off his jacket, and the Yid hangs his jacket on the tree. He says, could you just shoot a few shots at the jacket? Because then what I'll do is I'll bring my jacket home, and I'll say, look, I have shot, and I'll show bullet holes, and it'll make the story look real, You do me a favor. So the robber says, okay, no problem, I can do it for you. He shoots the jacket. So he says, oh good, thank you so much. Fuck. So the robber's about to leave, and he goes, wait a second. He goes, what now? He says, I was just thinking, okay, you shot my jacket, but just to really make it look really, really authentic, could you get like a shot at my hat also? He's like, right, through my hat, like you shot at my head, makes it. So he goes, okay, fine, I'll shoot at you. So he takes his hat off, puts it down on the rock, he says, okay, shoot it. So whatever, he takes a shot, and then he's out of ammunition. Ah, says the Yid, what's a robber without ammunition? And he jumps him, and he twists his arm, gets his money back, and that was the end of that. Yiddish Shukop. Anyways, so what's the Nimshal? So says the Ben Ish Chai, so too, fine, you have tsaras or whatever, but ammunition only lasts so long. Just have some patience. So too, Faro, Faro had his last chuyos. He's after all sent away Bishalach Faro Adam. He sent away Kal Yisrael. Very nice, magnanimous thing. Okay, it was after ten machos, but Lamaisa, he sent them off, and he was malavim. It says even malavim Kal Yisrael. So he had a little bit of chuyos. So therefore, Hashem, just wanted to, give them his last. Last ammunition and let him run after Kleiser or whatever, fine, you ran after him, and then that's it. Now the ammunition's over, finished, gone, and goodbye, Paro and his men. So too, he says, when people have problems, either people are bothering you or things bothering you, just realize that it's going to come to an end. This is a matter of time. The ammunition's going to run out. It's just a matter of having a little bit of patience, just hang in there, and before you know it, things will look up. It's interesting, Yalkut Miam Lois, on the Pasuk Vayavo B'nei Yisrael B'tocha Yam B'yabasha, says that Moshe Rabbeinu showed here a tremendous mysterious nefesh. It says, how so? He said, you think that, okay, Moshe is the leader of the people, So they're going through the Yam, So where do you think Moshe Rabbeinu was? So if you saw the movie, you say, yeah, he's at the front, you know, leading the people, putting his arms out, follow me, right? He goes into the Yam, right? Everybody follows behind him. So he comes out first the other side, and everybody else following, coming through. So he says it's not the case. Why? He says, because Moshe Rabbeinu was worried. He says, you know, unfortunately, the Klal Yisrael, you know, they're not so, they don't have so many suyos like I do. And, you know, halalu avdei avodah zarah, halalu avdei avodah zarah. And Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid he'd come out the other side, and maybe the Klal Yisrael, that, okay, the people that were with him, you know, right next to him were getting out, but then who knows about the people left behind, they might not get out because they don't have enough suyos. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, his Moser Nefesh, says, you know what? Let everybody go ahead of me. I'll go at the end. I'll go at the back. Therefore, Hashem's not going to put the water down as long as I'm still in there. And therefore, in order to save Klal Yisrael, he made sure he walked in the back of the line, going through the Yam. So, anyways, Moser Nefesh for Klal Yisrael brings a Maisa with Rabbi Yitzchak Zilber. He says Zilber, as Atzal, he was very active in helping the Russian Jewry. And one of the main things he had to work a lot on was the union of Gittin. Because a lot of men, the Russians, they would leave their wives leave home, and they would go out without a get. And the wife would be without a get. And she means she's a guna, she can't get married. So he would be very active in trying to locate the husbands and try to convince them to give a get. Anyway, so it brings one such maisa where a guy left his wife and says, here, I don't care, you can go marry who you want, I'm leaving, goodbye. They leave. Oh, he can't get married who she wants, he doesn't get. So Zilber located the guy and tried to convince him. He says, no, forget it, I'm not giving any get. Tried, nothing. So next thing he tried to do was to get a friend of his, of the person, you know, the man who wasn't giving the get, that maybe he can convince him. Anyway, so he tried speaking to him. So finally, he saw a little petach. What was that? The man said, the husband said, okay, I'll be willing to give a get to my wife, but only on one condition. What's that? He said that all my averas will go to my wife. Transfer my averas to my wife, and I'll give her a get. So he said to the Tolus Rav Zilber, he went to, brought this to the woman. She said, forget it. Yeah, right. It's okay. I'll stay in the guna the rest of my life. I'm going to tell you who knows how many averas this guy has. You know, I'm going to take his averas. Forget it. Nothing doing. Anyway, so now he's at a standstill. He didn't know what to do. His husband was a little bit willing, but he gave a condition that wasn't, that couldn't be kept. So Rav Zilber contacted Rav Malin and told him the story. So Rav Malin said, try to get me an appointment with this guy, with this woman, and we'll see what he can do. Fine. So Rav Malin comes into this woman and says to her, listen, the guy wants, your husband wants, he'll give you a get as long as the averas go to you, right? But you're saying, I don't want all these averas. So he said to her, fine, don't worry. Let the averas go on to you, and then the averas will go from you on to me. I'll take his averas. And so, nothing to worry about. So when she heard that, she said, okay, yeah, no, fine, no problem. So that's what happened, right? He got the get and took his averas, and Malin said he'll take Moser Nefesh, taking the averas in order to save this woman. It's a similar type story with Chazon Ish. There was once there's a Rav of in Tel Aviv, the Yad Eliyahu district, and many years ago. And they didn't have a mikveh in the area. So they had to use a mikveh, you had to go quite a long walk to Yavne Street. Anyways, it was a big problem. So they wanted to make a mikveh there, but there was no place. So he had an idea, but it was problematic. His idea was to make the mikveh in the shul. The problem was the placement of the mikveh was right underneath the shul, whatever, was not allowed halachically. So it was a problem because that was the only place to make the mikvah, but I mean, such a need, it wasn't so kosher halachically to do so. He didn't know what to do. His name was Rav Weinberger. So one day he happened to be in a bris, and who was the sandek? The Chazon Ish. And he says, oh, so perfect, I'll go ask the Chazon Ish. So he approaches the Chazon Ish and says, ask him what he should do. You know, it's the only place to make the mikvah in the shul, it's not allowed. So what should I do? So he says, what? He says, it's not worth it for you. to suffer a little bit of Gehenna so there should be a kosher mikveh in the area? Okay, you have to be the Chazon Ish to say such a thing. You know, what you can be make what up, but it's what he said, that you know, sometimes you have to be Moser Nefesh, you have to accept a little bit of Gehenna in order to mazaka the Rabbi. The story, was said of Mishkovsky, of a minaral of a yeshiva, one of the yeshiva gedola here in Eretz Yisrael, that he was visiting a wealthy man in Ramat Gan, you know, to get the donation, whatever. So he noticed something peculiar. This is an older man, a wealthy older man. And he looked very modern, very modern Orthodox, like doesn't look far from being Haredi, you know. But his house was like, you could tell he had tremendous avas of Torah. You look around at pictures of people learning and Rebbeim and this, like you can see it was very, like, learning was very, very important to him, even though he didn't look the part. So the Menayal asked him, he says, you know, it looks like you have this tremendous avas of Torah, like what's shot, where'd it come from? So he told him, the following story. He says, when I was a little boy, I was 12 years old, my parents sent me to learn in yeshiva in a little town next to Vilna. So I had to make the trip to get there by foot. You know, we were poor. And I'm schlepping. And so finally, I get to the yeshiva after a long journey. And I got there in the late afternoon, early evening. And besides being exhausted, I was hungry like crazy. I was starving to death. So the first thing I went through was, you know, get some dinner. So in the yeshiva, like many yeshivas in those days, they had what was called yom. They had didn't have a chadarach. Well, you eat by people's houses. So the menahal of the yeshiva, whatever, he has a list of gabbai has a list of families and the bachrim who goes to which family. So he quickly said, I made my way to the gabbai and says, okay, I just, you know, I'm here to join the yeshiva. Where can I eat? I need a place to eat. I'm starving. So he said, you know, I feel bad for you, but you came just a few minutes too late. All the places are taken on the list. Everybody's set up already. So he goes, oh, no. I started to cry. I'm starving. So he felt bad for me. And he looked again at the list. He says, you know what? He says, there is one other place, but very bitty at it. But if you want, okay, I'll set you up there. He says, well, what's the shot? He says, there's an almana. There's an almana who's very poor. She has 8 children she takes care of. Her has 8 children. And as it is, they, you know, themselves are very poor. And they you know, she asks to, you know, send Bachrim to her, but I usually don't send. But in this situation, you know, you're very hungry and this and that. And the only, okay, so if you want, you can go to this almana. So he says, okay, I don't care, I'll go anywhere. I need some food. So he warned him, though. He says, but just do me a favor. He said, don't forget, there's an almana with 8 yitomim, and they're very poor. So when they put the main, on the middle of the table with the food, the main center, you know, dish with the food, don't go taking the food. Wait till all the kids take and everything, whatever the left take. Don't, you know, because you're taking food from these poor kids. He goes, fine, just let me go. He says, so I made my way to this house, the shack or whatever it is, whatever you want to call it, and I knock on the door. And a few of the kids, you know, answer the door. They take a look at me, and all of a sudden their face lights up, and they say, "Ima, Ima, the Talmud Chacham came. The Talmud Chacham came." So I'm like, "What?" I look behind me. I say, "Who are they talking about? Me? Some guy's, some Talmud Chacham's behind me." I look behind me. I'm the only guy standing here at the door. And he said, "Don't forget, I was 12 years old. I'm a 12-year-old kid. The Talmud Chacham's here. The Talmud Chacham's here." I'm like, okay. And so the mother came and goes, oh, please come in, whatever. Oh, so excited, whatever. And the kids are so happy and dancing, whatever. Oh, Talmud Chacham's here. Okay, fine. So we sit down for the meal. And I'm sitting there with all, you know, kids all around the table. And in the middle of the table is this plate of food. And there are these 8 plates, you know, distributed to the 8 kids. And they all take food, you know, put it on their plate. And then she says to the children, now, who is that extra plate for? There's one extra plate, the empty plate. They said, it's for the Talmud Chacham! It's for the Talmud Chacham! She goes, right! And then he says, you're not going to believe this. Then the kids like were fighting of who could give me more food. They're all taking from their own plates and putting it on my plate. And they all play. And everybody wanted to put their food and give it to me. And they're fighting over trying to give them. They're giving away their food to me. I had this huge plate of food, which I really needed. And it was unbelievable. And during the meal, the kids started dancing in a circle and singing songs of Torah and this and whatever, you know. And it was unbelievable. And when I left, they said, you have to come back, you have to come back, please come back, please come back, you know. So I said, no, you know, no. He said, you have to promise you're coming back, you have to come back. Okay, so he said, for months I would go to this place. It was unbelievable. And he said, that Avas HaTorah that Mishpacha showed, he says, was implanted in my mind till this day. And in fact, he said, I went through the war, the Holocaust, and I can say that I only survived because of that picture that I had in my mind. That Avas HaTorah, so gave me chizuk through the whole war, and mamash to this day. That's why you see all these pictures, and that's where my Avas HaTorah comes from. There's a story he brings from the Pasuk V'yar Yisrael Siyaga Gdola. See the Hashkacha Prati. It's interesting Hashkacha Prati story. There's once Eitam HaChacham, he says that he was taking his father had to have a surgery of some sort. So he came to the hospital, whatever, and then they're waiting outside the surgery room for his turn to go in. Somebody was in at the time. So they're sitting there waiting. And all of a sudden, there's a big commotion. People running into the surgery, out of the room, in and out, back and forth, doctors, and in and out, like a big one. So, like, what's going on over here? And the mishpacha that were, you know, waiting, who's, you know, their family members inside, obviously, they were going crazy. What's going on? Anyways, what happened? What's the story? The story is like this. There was an older man, like 75-year-old man, that he needed some dental work, a tooth implanted or whatever. So a couple of his kids took him to the dentist. It was that morning. And the dentist was to take the tooth, to implant it, to put it in. And as things happened, it slipped out of his hand, the tooth, and fell down the patient's throat. And couldn't get it out. And he was like choking, and it was like lodged in the you know, throat of this older man. And the dentist was like going crazy. Oh my gosh, you know, this is an emergency. So he says, quick, he grabs the older man, he gets his card, and rushes him to the hospital. He had enough time to call the ambulance, you know. And the children are, his children are freaking out, and they're like waving their finger, like, boy, you're in big trouble, you know, and he's waving the finger at the dentist, you're going to lose every penny, you know, because of this, whatever. Anyway, so but that wasn't exactly on his mind right now. He just had to get this guy to the hospital. Fine, so he brought him to the hospital and immediately brought him into the operating room to operate, to try to get the tooth out of his throat. So what happened? So before they, you know, actually operate, they always want to take pictures, you know, x-rays, whatever, to see exactly where, what, the position of the tooth, what to do, you know, of course. So what happened? Wouldn't you know it, they're taking pictures of the throat and everything to see what to do, and they notice that he had a growth in his throat. Nothing to do with the tooth, it's a growth. And they quickly called the oncology doctor, he came rushing down, whatever, and that was the whole ball of gun. Doctors in and out, because said that we have to operate and take out the growth. And as it happened, they caught it early enough that it was not a problem to take out. It would have been anything later, it would have been almost life threatening. So it was all Ashkacha Pratis that he should have, only because he had his tooth stuck in his throat that they had to went to the hospital and they found the growth and were able to operate and save his life. So, Yad HaGdoila. Okay. Okay. It's a story with Rav. The it's called the Toldos. The name is Rav Yaakov Yosef Mipolna. So once a yid from a small town asked him, he had a baby, and he asked him if he can come and be a sundek for his son's breast. So he was very, very makbid on his time, and he said he tried to get out of it, didn't want to come, whatever. But the man is, you know, push, and no, you have to come, please. So he says, okay, I'll come to your breast, but only one condition, that everything starts on time, I just come, a little Sunday, leave, and I don't have to waste any time. Make everything soon. So the father said, no, no problem, do whatever I can. Okay. So, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef comes, and to this town, on time, everything was ready to go. The only problem is, it was a small town, they didn't have a minyan. They had like five or six people. And they wanted to have a minyan, you know, for the bris. So they're trying to get another one, this one here, there, whatever, and time's ticking away, and the Rav's looking at his watch. He says, this is a little beseder, you know, I was only coming on a condition that I, you know, just come and go, and just do my thing and leave. And you know, and the father's still looking, and others, he gets five, says, go. So they had nine. At nine, and they didn't have a tenth, though. So Rabbi Yosef turns to the father and goes, listen, that's it. I'll wait another couple of minutes, and then I'm sorry, I just have to find somebody else. I just have to go. I can't. I have to, you know, it's too much, too long already. So the father's beside himself. Well, what can he do, you know? All of a sudden, he sees through the shul door, he sees an old man walking down the street. With a long white beard, you know, like a yid. He goes, ah. So he runs over to the yid. He says, oh, please, please, could you be able to come into the shul? We need a tenth for the minyan. So the old man said, listen, you know, I was actually on my way somewhere, but yakacha. I mean, you should be so. Yakacha. So he turned and he came to the shul. Oh, father was so excited, brought the old man in, and they were able to do the bris. So after the bris, the father turned to the old man and said, oh, maybe have a little l'chaim, you know, after the bris, stay for a little l'chaim. He says, okay, shiachacha, shiachacha. So he finished the l'chaim, and then they sat down for the suda's bris. So he felt it's only proper, you should invite him for the suda. So the father turned to the old man, would you like to sit down for the suda? Shiachacha, shiachacha. So the whole time, everything was shiachacha, shiachacha, the whole time he's saying shiachacha. So before he left, somebody asked him, he says, why do you keep saying shiachacha? Anything we ask you is shiachacha. Well, why do you keep saying that? So the old man said, well, we say in Ashrei, right? Ashrei hadam, Ashrei ha'adam, shekacha lo. Right? So, meaning, happy is the person that's shekacha lo. Meaning, that the person, happy is the person that he takes things in stride. He doesn't, okay, certain situations are not to your liking exactly. Not exactly how you planned anything, but shiyeh kacha. Happy is the person that says kacha, shiyeh kacha, it shouldn't be that way. Okay, this is the way things turned out. Shiyeh, Hashem has his plans. Shiyeh, shiyeh. When Rav Yaakov Yosef heard this, he said, obviously this old man is Eliyahu Navi. He says, he came to the bris, he comes to bris, except normally you can't see him. You know, here we're able to see him. Because he came to the bris to give me the lesson in Musar. You know, I said, oh, I have to go, I can't stay, whatever. Came to teach me, you know, sometimes, okay, things are, situations are not exactly to your like, and you have to swap out, step here, whatever. But, shiachacha, that's Hashem plans, he has his reasons. You should always just say shiachacha. That was a lesson Eliyahu Navi taught him. We should be zoiche. Eliyahu Navi should come, Yom Navi Zechulato should come quickly, speedily in our days, and announce the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, Bimhir V'Yameinu. Amen.